Figures out this week show housing costs in Australia's major cities are some of the most unaffordable in the world, something I suppose that won't come as much of a surprise if you live in Sydney or Melbourne. The government has appointed a new minister to tackle the problem, though exactly what the approach will be in 2017 remains to be seen, although the government says it's very much on their agenda. Victorian MP Michael Sukkar has been tasked with making housing more affordable in the newly created role of Assistant Minister to the Treasurer. He's my guest on RN Drive tonight. Welcome to the program and congratulations.
Thanks, Patricia. Great to be with you.
Before we get to affordable housing, tomorrow President Trump is expected to sign an executive order restricting refugee resettlement to the United States. What effect would this have on the refugee resettlement deal with Australia that was released last year?
Well, Patricia, I mean, I'm not privy to the details and the, in a sense, the bilateral arrangements that have been put in place. I mean, my hope is that, you know, as a trusted and close ally of the United States, that deals made with one administration would be honoured by the next. I think it would be foolish to say that I or anyone in particular can categorically say one way or another that they know how this administration will treat it. But I am confident that Minister Dutton, who has done, in my view, a wonderful job in striking this agreement to start with, will be able to ensure that those strong relationships ultimately result in the best outcome for Australia and hopefully the best outcome for those that would be subject to the arrangement.
The reason I ask, of course, is that we're all expecting these announcements from President Trump tomorrow. You are no doubt aware it's kind of the biggest story in the world and there are huge implications for our country and, of course, our offshore detention. You say you can't be sure, but this afternoon, and I've been privy to this, the government is briefing out that they're confident that the deal will stick. You're not as confident?
No, I'm not saying that I'm not confident. I think that my statement to you, Patricia, that I'd be hopeful that one administration, in a deal done with a trusted ally like us, would honour the deal of a previous administration. I think that highlights a level of confidence, but I don't want to be... I wouldn't foolishly say to you that am necessarily privy to the inner workings of those relationships in those deals. But as I said, I think given those strong relationships and the work that Minister Dutton has done, I'm hopeful, but I wouldn't want to go out of the limb and say to you and your viewers categorically that I'm aware that, you know, that would be done. So I suppose hopeful optimism, confidence you may say, but I think, you know, to get a categoric answer, ultimately, Patricia, to speak to the relevant minister.
We'd also have to wait to hear what Donald Trump does. 0418 226 576 is our number. If you're listening in, this is RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvalis, and I'm joined tonight by Michael Sukkar, who's been tasked with bringing the cost of housing down in this newly created role of Assistant Minister to the Treasurer, which he was sworn in to do yesterday. So let's get to this issue of housing prices. Yesterday on this program, RN Drive, Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce was my guest, and he had this to say about housing affordability.
We believe that, yes, houses will always be incredibly expensive. You can see the Opera House and the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Just accept that. But what people have got to realise is the reality is that houses, well, I'm in Tamworth, houses are much cheaper in Tamworth. Houses are much cheaper in Armidale. Houses are much cheaper in Toowoomba. There's not only one place in Australia that you need to live called Sydney. There are lots of places in Australia. And I get annoyed when people talk about that the only house apparently that you can buy is in Sydney and it's too dear. There are other parts of Australia. I live in one. It's called Tamworth.
Yeah, people move to where the jobs are, though.
There are jobs here.
Is this to be part of government policy on affordable housing, encouraging people to move out of our cities?
Well, Patricia, I mean, the reality is, and I sort of listened intently yesterday to your interchange with the Deputy PM. I mean, the reality is we have a very concentrated population on the eastern seaboard of Australia, and housing affordability issues, I mean, are primarily an issue for Sydney, Melbourne, to a lesser extent Brisbane, and there are some other, very limited regional areas where you'd say there are housing affordability issues. But to say housing affordability affects every town and region in the country is obviously not true. It's more acute in the big city. And you rightly, in that interaction, spoke about jobs. And for so long as, you know, primary job creation is occurring in the CBDs of those cities, inevitably people will need to be able to house themselves and live within an area that they can commute to and from those locations. So we have a very concentrated population. Even if you look at a country like the United States, 370-odd million people, you know, Melbourne and Sydney as two cities would be some of the largest cities in the United States if you were to transplant them and put them there, which I think is an easy way to understand just how concentrated our populations are. So I think long-term, more decentralised job creation and decentralised planning is an answer. But just to say, well, you need to move to a regional area, you and I, and I know the Deputy Prime Minister knows, is not simply something we can say to those whose gainful employment can only be achieved in a CBD of a capital city.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I said to him, it's about jobs, right?
Sure.
And I can't move to Tamworth tomorrow. I mean, his suggestion is not feasible for many of us.
Sure. The other piece to this, though, Patricia, is, you know, if you look at Sydney, which is, you know, probably got the most acute problem, and Melbourne not far behind, for about a decade there, Sydney was, I think there were probably 15,000 new homes or residences being built at a time when we probably needed 40,000 built. So there's a 10-year deficit there that was occurring. Right now, and again, I've only had my feet under the desk for a very short period of time, I think if we could, in Sydney, increase the number of residences being constructed by 10 or 15,000, and in Melbourne, you know, from 8 to 12,000, all of a sudden, you can make an appreciable impact on housing affordability. And the other thing that I want to make, it's not about reducing asset values, because as we saw from the GFC in the United States, where you have reducing asset values in the form of residential housing, it's very destructive for the economy. What we want, though, we want wages growth to outstrip the growth in the price of houses. So for really the last two decades, we've seen house price growth exceed wages growth, and for so long as that's occurring, the gap's getting wider.
That's right, and they're exceeding it in a pretty spectacular way.
Correct.
The Deputy Prime Minister's comments have been wall-to-wall all day. That can't be helpful.
Well, look, as I said, I think the point he was making was that this is a very Sydney and Melbourne, and to a lesser extent, Brisbane.
A lot of your voters are in these cities, though.
Of course, many, many millions. And I obviously have a seat in suburban Melbourne where, you know, I grew up in a pretty humble family, and I look at, you know, I drove past my old family home the other day and thought, my God, that's probably a $1 million house now. And it's incredible to think that that was a very, very different suburb when I grew up there. And so we obviously feel it more acutely, but we shouldn't just then blindly assume that those who live in remote regional areas, who in fact are desperate for new people to move there, and as the Deputy Prime Minister said, you know, in many cases they do have jobs that need filling. We do need to have a rethink, obviously.
Sure, but there have been policies for years to encourage people to move to regional areas, and most of them are a flop.
Agreed. Completely agree, Patricia. And that's why I've said from the start, in these sort of appointments, you know, and the risk for the government here is that we don't want to create an impression that there is a silver bullet solution, that we're the white knight that's going to fix problems that have basically beleaguered.
No, you don't want expectations to be too high, but you know what? Expectations at the moment couldn't be any lower because people have just given up on government. This is why we're seeing really what is a real disruption in the political system, because people just think these people don't have any solutions for us. There's no way we can even think about saving up for a deposit for a house. I mean, young people are completely locked out.
Yeah, and look, hopefully that means, Patricia, that in this role I can exceed those very low expectations, far exceed them, because, you know, this is an issue that fortuitously I've been looking into for a very long period of time. I'm 35. I suppose I'm in that kind of cohort where I look at my friends and family. We are the group that is disproportionately affected by these inflated asset prices. I just want to emphasise to you and your listeners that we have a really earnest, or we are going to make an absolutely earnest attempt at doing everything we possibly can to alleviate.
Okay, so let's get to some options. Obviously, negative gearing. Now, I know you've ruled it out, but top economists say that this would help. Why not look at it again?
Well, Patricia, this is a housing tax that Labor's very skillfully, and I give them credit.
Economists. I'm not talking about Labor. I'm talking about top economists.
Well, Patricia, I can tell you right now, looking at other top economists, and, you know, the old joke that, you know, you ask two economists a question, they'll come up with the opposite answers, may be true here. But what we know for a fact is this was experimented in the 80s. We know that this housing tax will, in a sense, reduce activity in the residential housing construction industry, which we think will ultimately affect supply. We know it pushes up rents quite drastically because at the end of the day, investors who own a property that they're renting are going to be going to those tenants and asking them for the difference that they don't get
so
any deduction. We know that for a fact. That's even every economist would.
So if you rule out changing negative gearing, which you're doing.
Well, it's not a housing affordability policy, Patricia.
Okay. You've floated.
I have a remit over housing affordability. Okay.
And you've floated the idea of tax breaks to incentivize extra supply. How would that work? What are the options?
Well, Patricia, I've been very careful not to outline specific policy proposals. A, because I was literally sworn in less than 24 hours ago. So, you know, there are that many great ideas that we've been working on and that many that I'm bringing to the table. And I want to be careful about what I say to you because the minute I outline a proposal, you know, inevitably it sets the hairs running. When the government has a well-calibrated, multifaceted approach, we will be very public about it.
Okay, so give me a time frame at least. I understand you've just started the job. What you're saying is sensible. You have to consider all the options. But
I don't want to give you a typical politician's answer, Patricia, but it will be as soon as possible.
Okay, are we looking at SHAPE being a fundamental part of shaping up this year's May budget?
Possibly, but I wouldn't want to categorically say that. I think
is that what you're going to be arguing for?
Well, I think this is an acute issue, and when you have an issue as acute as this, you need to put out proposals as soon as possible because, you know, we don't want, in a sense, the issue can't wait. And the Prime Minister, when he offered me this role, was very clear that he's very exercised by this issue. He wants the government to do everything we possibly can, noting that we're going to have to work with state and territory governments as well, who have primary responsibility for the supply of housing. But I think that there's goodwill amongst those state governments to do something. Obviously, the new Premier of New South Wales has spoken about it. I want to reach across the divide and even work with the Victorian State Labor Government, particularly Treasurer Tim Pallas. You know, basically, good people who I think this is an issue that we just have to put a politics aside, work together. I'm acutely aware that there are the hopes and dreams of many millions of people that will rest partly on the policies and decisions we take.
They certainly will. That people are watching this very closely. Michael Sukkar, congratulations again and thank you so much for joining us on Drive.
Thanks very much for your interest in this topic, Patricia.
And that's Michael Sukkar. He's the Assistant Minister to the Treasurer and the member for Deakin. He was sworn in yesterday. Look, he's been a rising star in the Liberal Party. He's been appointed to this Assistant Minister job, and what a job. Suggesting there, pretty strongly actually, that he would like it to be the centrepiece of the 2017 budget for the Turnbull government, coming up with some solutions to Housing affordability, 0418 226 576. What solutions should they be embracing? That's the number you can text me on. You can also tweet us using the hashtag RNDrive.